Hello, listeners, and you're listening to The Beard and Tie, episode 20. I am Gareth Stirrup. With me, my co-host, as usual, the very talented Andrew Keith Rook.
Alva! Yeah.
Yes, I didn't know.
It's British.
I can't remember if it's Alan or Alva.
Alan. What a ridiculous name. I don't even know any Alans.
Akar.
There we go. What's the acronym for your middle names, and what does it spell?
I am Gareth T.J. Stirrup.
Oh, you're almost the Global Trade Station, but you got a J in there. Mm-hmm. That's too bad.
Yeah, it's close. It stands for Thomas John.
Thomas John? You sound like a musician.
Yeah.
Do you play guitar?
I used to play it a lot. Used to play it a lot in high school. I played a bit in first year university, but then I kind of fell away from it.
Basically, your mind was just flooded with the Canadian indie music scene, and you realize, I'll never be this indie.
Exactly. Yeah, and
I understand.
I dabbled in a little bit of banjo when I was in grade 12.
Fun fact, the first instrument I ever wanted to learn how to play was the banjo, and my mom asked me if I wanted lessons. So I said, and I just want to put it out there, I love my parents, they're great people. But she said, Andrew, what do you want to learn? I said, the banjo, I think it's a really cool instrument. She says, okay, I'll see about signing up for that. So she drives me to this guy, Tim Smith, dynamite fella, and I sit down for a guitar lesson, and I started crying. I said, Mom, I thought I was going to learn the banjo. And she said, Andrew, honey, the banjo is not a cool instrument. And if you know how to play guitar, you'll learn how to play the banjo.
You'll get all the ladies.
I don't think that's true. Anyway, other than that, that's the least supportive thing they've ever done for me. Everything else has been perfect.
Now you're in Scotland chasing your dreams. You got a
exactly.
You got a movie coming up?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I went onto your Vimeo page and I saw those screen tests with those two lovely Scottish actresses. I had no idea.
One of them's English, actually. Okay. But
sorry.
You got it almost right.
I had no idea what was going on because it was just a little snippet. But yeah, I hope you're having fun over in Scotland.
Thanks.
It's already...
Everyone can Google Caelan Kyle Andrew Rook and you'll see more about the project.
Yes.
I don't actually know the URL. Anyway, why don't we talk about something interesting?
Okay, you don't want to pimp your movie at all?
I'll pimp it a bit. It's about a young trans man that has to dress as a woman one last time to say goodbye to someone he loves. It's a story about the loss and regaining of identity. It's a short film and we're shooting it in Edinburgh. Take a look at it if you like. I'm real passionate about the project.
when do you expect it to be complete?
We're shooting at the end of April, so anyone in Edinburgh, feel free to help out with that. Everyone over in Canada and Libya, or wherever else anyone's listening from, you have about 4 days if you feel like donating to the movie. So just Google Caelan Kyle Kickstarter, and that's the title of the film, minus the Kickstarter.
Right.
And I doubt anyone will.
No, but like, if you love this podcast, if you're a listener, you probably know of Andrew's other films, like Devotion. Hell of a handsome producer on that film.
Oh, so good. Mm-hmm. And the DIT. Sorry, that's what they call it over here. Mm-hmm. DMT.
DMT, yeah. And you also did Sunny Day Essays. So you have a very good Bike City.
Hail Caesar.
Hail Caesar. Fantastic. So fantastic it got plagiarized by.
Hey, let's not get into that, even though you're right. Hail Caesar was plagiarized by some company, but we're not going to get into it. Did you just cough Mott's Clamato over there?
Yeah. Drinking a Caesar has just left an awful taste in my mouth. But I just want to say, Hail Caesar. That was one of the more fun shoots that I've ever worked on.
It's because you were drunk.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we had a great crew with us. We had Brandon and Travis and John.
John Duder, good guy.
Can't forget him.
Well, we should say to people that, for some reason, aren't familiar with our personal intimate details, it was a film about the cocktail known as the Caesar. The bartender was making about 20 of them through the entire shoot, and we just drank the leftovers.
Yeah.
So,
it was like, you make a Caesar. He was actually using... It wasn't like he was just using fake ingredients, like just regular tomato juice and water. He was actually using Mott's Clamato and vodka and Worcestershire... real salt and pepper. Like, he was using the actual real ingredients, and like, you have all that, you're not going to throw it up.
No, say what you want about the guy. That's the fucking best Caesar I've ever had.
I didn't really have any good Caesars until that. Like, I got that thing where they
that's what switched me over, yeah.
Yeah, they would just like sit on top of my stomach, and I'm like, if I burp, I can feel it like coming up.
I know.
But after that, so smooth. Like, that was fantastic.
I was looking for a good Caesar after that, and I had, like, spaghetti sauce and rum at fucking Imperial or something, right?
Oh.
It's just, I've never had a Caesar that good ever since.
Terrible. Terrible.
I had an old fashioned at a place called Huxley down here on Princess Street, and it actually took the guy 10 minutes to make.
Mm.
So it was fucking fantastic.
Mm-hmm. It's good. It's good. Good drinks.
But enough about drinks, enough about movies, enough about how handsome you are. Let's get on to the meat and potatoes.
Okay. So I kind of it's been a while. It's been a while since we did this show. And there's been a few things that got announced in the video game atmosphere. Andrew, do you like Metroid?
Wait, there's a Metroid announcement?
No, just answer the damn question.
Yes, I do.
Do you like Castlevania?
Uh-oh. I think so.
Do you like Metroidvania?
I like the word Metroidvania.
Mm, then you must have loved Batman Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, I did. I played about 5 hours of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which is great.
Okay. Did you like what you played at all?
Well, yeah, I played it. I liked it. It was I liked that Kevin whatever his name is.
Kevin Conroy.
Kevin Conroy. From the animated series, Mark Hamill as well.
Mm-hmm.
No, the gameplay was nice. I mean, if I had to tell you the truth, I kind of more prefer Metroid Prime to the side-scrolling ones.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Arkham Asylum was not a side-scroller, but I like the idea of this big world to explore, hidden shit to look at, and backtracking if it's done right. Yeah, Arkham Asylum was good.
It was like...
Watched you play enough Arkham City to realize that's a good game, too.
Yeah, but I much prefer Arkham Asylum to Arkham City, just because of that whole Metroidvania feel. Like...
Okay.
There's a lot of stuff that Arkham City fixes in Arkham Asylum. Like, Arkham Asylum, you're doing the same boss fight, like, 6 times throughout the game. Even the final boss fight is very similar. And I never got to the final boss fight that everybody says is horrible just because... excuse me. Too much vodka. Just because... Like, there's this whole fight that you have to go through that is the same, and I just got so pissed off, and I couldn't do it. Like, I probably tried it 20 times, couldn't finish it, and I'm like, fuck this, so I'll watch the ending.
So that's what that grunting was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I never even beat the last boss of Skyward Sword. I'm literally on it, and I just didn't care to.
Yep. That's a testament to that game. So, what I wanted to say is, Arkham Asylum, fantastic game, except for the ending. Arkham City, fantastic game, except how it's not as Metroidvania-y as Arkham Asylum. Yeah. Arkham Origins came out last October to mild critical reception. A few people here and there liked it, but had a lot of problems. Main problems I hear is that there's a lot of glitches and bugs. Like, it'll corrupt your save files, or Deathstroke will actually come in there and... like, murder your PlayStation 3.
What are you talking about? Okay, yeah. Mediocre reviews.
Yeah, yeah. But we have a new Arkham game coming out. We just announced. Batman Arkham Knight.
That's a silly name.
Well, when you think of Batman is the Dark Knight. Well, it's just because they, like, already... What else are they going to call it?
I mean, they're just loving that word Arkham, aren't they? Like,
it's a good name.
Asylum, yes. It made sense. In the city, yeah, the Joker's running it, fine. But what is an Arkham Knight? Because that makes him the Knight of the Insane Asylum, then, doesn't it?
I think the Knight that's trying... I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
There's been worse names.
I'm just saying Arkham's not necessarily appropriate. But continue your explanation of this brilliant new game.
Okay, so we don't have any gameplay footage yet that they've released. Just the trailer.
Pre-rendered trailer.
Yep, the trailer. Very nice trailer, mind you. It's all about how, like, Bruce Wayne's father is, like, reading his last will and testament to Bruce, and he's, like, telling him, don't spend all your money on fancy cars or crazy clothing, and you see him, like, getting into the Batmobile and getting into his
Batsuit. Crazy uniform thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's really, and he comes in, and he, like, kicks Harley Quinn's ass, and Two-Face is there. Penguin, maybe, I don't know. not much information except that it is the last game in the series. It's supposed to be the final Batman Arkham game, which
and yet it sounds like an origin story.
No, it's like after Arkham City, after the Joker dies. Spoilers. Sorry.
Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, so it's finale of the series to be released in October 2014. But so says GameStop. So I don't know how much they have for that.
In GameStop, we trust. Come on.
Yep. Okay. Next gen only, which is the interesting thing. So it's only.
Well, we are in the next gen, though. Yeah. Look at us, right?
But it's still in that time where it's like. We're still in that overlapping time where it's all like games are coming out for both systems, like Watch Dogs and Assassin's Creed and all that crazy stuff.
And I love that. But I think that more than 6 months after a new system's release, it's safe to stop releasing for the previous one.
That's true. But, you know, you want to give people enough time to, like, make that switch. So it's just an interesting thing. It's like, I think it is pretty good incentive to go over. I wanted to get a PS4 for Infamous, the new Infamous, but then I just think, what else is there that I want to play
right
now?
Well, you already got a Wii U, so you already done goofed one time. Smash Bros.
And Arkham Knight. Although Arkham City and Arkham Origins came out for Wii U, this one has not been confirmed for Wii U. But
ooh, that's a burn I want.
I don't care. Like, I wasn't going to play it on Wii U anyway. Like, if I had a PS4, I would much prefer to play that game on PS4.
Yeah,
get those trophies.
I kept saying I'd get a Wii U just for the Human Revolution Director's Cut, but as soon as that bad boy dropped on the PS3, I snagged it. I haven't even played it yet. I just bought it from someone else's PS3.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But it was on sale.
So do you have any plans to get a Wii U?
Yeah, I have to, man, when Smash comes out, but until then I will not. Because who knows, by the time the game drops, it might be cheaper. There might actually be games out for it. True. Like, I just, out of pity, went to IGN.com, you know, keeping it here. And I clicked on the Wii section, and it was like fucking Fisherman Golfer 7, like whatever. Like, I was looking at the top games coming up, and there's just nothing.
I
couldn't even believe that there was not some, like, shitty third-party port of a game someone's actually heard of, but there's nothing coming out for that thing.
It's like the last big game that came out on the Wii U was Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze.
Yeah, and that was like just plastered everywhere because it's the only thing they have to talk about.
Yeah, they actually had a gorilla trying to sell those games.
I hear it's great though.
Yeah,
B Smoke, who's going to be a guest star on this podcast real soon.
Oh God, I hope so.
Is a big fan, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just a solid platformer, I've heard.
Yeah, and like I liked the first Donkey Kong Country. I know another fan of the show, Andrew Scott, who we should have on an episode one day.
Hey, Scott.
He is a very, very big fan of Donkey Kong Country Returns. So, I don't know, I haven't talked to him about this, what he thinks about it yet, if he's going to buy a Wii U to play this. I don't know, but... Yeah, I hear good things. Not really my bag of tea. Like, I'll probably, you know, tea bags.
The British would stone you.
Yeah, sorry. Loose leaf tea.
No. Yeah, I mean, it's not a system seller. It's just a quality game for people that are desperate to play anything.
Yeah, like it's a game that you play when you already have the system. But
as long as we're on the topic of the Wii U, I just wanted to talk about a little 5.8 out of 10 game I was watching a video for.
5.8 out of 10?
That's what Sonic the Lost World got, 5.8 out of 10. Yeah, I just was just watching the free DLC for the Zelda level. And I gotta say, as shitty as that game probably is, that looks fantastic. Like, as soon as you get in there, right, it's this dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Like, the sound, the music's authentic, obviously. You break some stupid rock and there's from the N64. There's like fairies flying around. There's treasure chests open. Instead of coins, you actually collect heart pieces.
That's
and
cool.
Instead of whatever the hell it is,
you rings.
Collect rupees. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. I'm not a Sonic fan. And they have rupees and stuff which collect towards points or something like that. And like he's dressed in Link's clothing. And the secret dungeon, it's all of a sudden playing the dungeon theme from A Link to the Past. There's Gorons. It's incredible, the amount of detail and the fact that it's free and this partnership, and it's just a shame that such for such a bad game.
I know. It's when Lost World came out, I was really I was really interested in it, and like I didn't really care about the low Metacritic that it had. I just kind of I kind of just still wanted to play it, but just to see what it was all about, because like this was the one that was supposed to change everything.
But before he got bandages on his hands,
meh.
Well, you said there's a Yoshi DLC.
There's Yoshi DLC. Came out. I think it was free, and it came out a few months ago. It was like done in the like a 3D Yoshi's Island type style.
Okay. Was Yoshi in it?
There were Shy Guys. I think Yoshi was in it. Honestly, it's been a while. Like, I haven't really been paying any attention to that game.
I can't say I've been following that game avidly, you know, like on the website, the news releases. I just saw it come across my Facebook feed, because I keep it there on Facebook as well. And, yeah, I thought it looked really well done.
Like,
and it's just...
I'm just trying to think about, like, what Sonic games I've actually played. Or which
everyone's
Sonic
played
games...
Sonic 2, I hope.
Yeah, like, I've played that, like, just like a... PC on the computer, some maybe a ROM or something. I think a Sonic game that I spent the most time with, just God, sounds beautiful.
What?
The Sonic game that I spent most time with was Sonic Heroes demo that came
Sonic
with my
Heroes.
Copy of Mario Kart Double Dash. Sonic
really?
Heroes! Sonic Heroes!
Mario Kart. This is a thing I used to do to Brandon all the time, actually, is he'd like say any game, you know, like Superstar Saga, I'd say Superstar Saga. Like anything works with the fucking Sonic Heroes theme song.
Oh man, that game was fucking shit.
Why do people hold on to Sonic? I don't understand. It was like barely good to begin with.
Because of the blast processing, which, speaking of Sonic... There is, and blast processing, there is some big news that came out a couple weeks ago, too. So Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, who are who worked together on This Is the End, are working on a new movie about the console wars between Sega and Nintendo from the 90s.
Spoiler alert, we know who won that one.
Yeah. God, I can't wait till that last shot when they, like, they're out there, like, E3 or whatever press conference they are when they announce the Dreamcast, and then it just then it just ends and they put the text on the screen explaining what happened.
Sega sucked a dick. But you know, the Dreamcast version of Rayman 2, The Great Escape, is the best one, so I can't knock it completely.
Okay, well, alright. And
Sega's responsible for Vector Man, which is superb. Yeah.
Okay. And... they had a bunch of characters in Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah. Oh, that's all they got, though, is the nostalgia factor. I mean, what's Sega doing lately? Okay, they did Bayonetta, kind of. They might have just published.
Yeah, but now that's gone.
Gone?
No, I mean, they're not doing it anymore.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, I'm just happy they're still around, you know?
Yeah, and like... Yeah, but... Who cares what they're really like? What was the last good Sega game?
Didn't they do something with Vanquish? No, I don't know if they did. If they didn't do Vanquish, then
do Vanquish. No, like they just published it. They didn't actually develop it.
Doesn't count, Sega. Doesn't count.
They
just
did
cause you know
Aliens Colonial Marine.
Ooh, oh, I cannot fucking wait for the new Aliens game. But we can get into that later. But Jesus, Alien Isolation looks amazing.
Yeah, because Colonial Marines, the last Aliens game was. Whew, fantastic.
Well, that's what one of your stupid IGN editors made a very intelligent comment about, was that alien adaptations for video games are often done off aliens. Whereas, really, you should be making survival horror Dead Space sort of shit off aliens.
Yes,
you know,
and
singular.
And, like, I am one of the few proponents of the first Alien movie. Like, I think that the first Alien, the Ridley Scott movie, is far and away more superior than Aliens.
I hope that most people would agree with you.
Mm-hmm. And I do, and like, yeah, you're right. Like, that is a much more, that's a much more better setting and theme for survival horror. Because, like,
yeah,
it's one of those things where, like, it was a slasher flick. They're just, like, this one towering presence that's, like, walking around the ship that was slowly taking out everybody one by one. And was just, like, how fantastic, the, yeah. And like nobody was prepared to take him in there. Just like, what, how the fuck are we supposed to do this? And then
the developer said in the game, there's only one alien and it cannot be killed. Mm. And that's like, that's it. That's the only bad guy in the fucking game. And it's so incredible. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it does. Yeah. That does sound pretty cool. I actually don't know much about this Alien Isolation, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I just watched the gameplay vid for the other day. It was a walkthrough and, man, the lighting effects and everything and the atmosphere. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although they did make a comment, which I think I would have agreed with, is it's scary as shit. But after you die, like, a few times, it just is not as scary because, you know, okay, I died. I'm going to start over again.
Right.
Maybe more penalties for dying would be appropriate, but then it just gets frustrating. It's really hard to say how you keep the fear factor up in a game with only one enemy, you know?
Wasn't Resident Evil Nemesis like this at all? Where you just have that, like, I'm assuming, like, it'll be like,
yeah,
something
you're right,
like that.
Actually.
Where it's
that's
just
an
like
appropriate comparison to make.
This one giant enemy is slowly stalking you throughout the game, and you just need to. I've never actually played Nemesis, so I don't know what I'm talking about.
I mean, they tried doing that in Resident Evil 6 too with the Wesker's Son campaign. They had that big scary guy chasing you across the countryside. It was, I don't even want to talk about Resident Evil 6.
All right then. But going back to the console war movie, I was actually watching. I was on YouTube watching some old SNES and Genesis trailers or ads, I guess you should say, and they are just so insane. Like
wacky.
It's like Sega is just like talking shit about Nintendo. It's just like, yeah. Have you ever seen Mario Kart? Looks like shit. Like, look at it. You can't move as fast as Sonic. And like that whole. And like the whole Genesis does what Nintendo don't, and like watching all the Nintendo games, it's just people. There are people playing like Super Mario World, and like they're going, whoa,
wacky.
Mm-hmm. But like,
man, yeah.
But like the worst.
I mean, these things.
The worst Genesis ad was like there was a salesman like trying, like it was a first person shooter. Not a first-person shooter, but it was a first-person perspective. And a guy was looking at two TVs, one playing Mario World and one playing Sonic. And this salesman is trying to push Mario World on him. And he's like, this game is better. Like, this game is good. This game will be known as the greatest game ever made. The greatest 2D platformer.
It's fucking awesome, yeah.
And then the guy's like, no, I want to play Sonic. So it was like this really ballsy ad where the guy is literally saying, the Mario World is better than Sonic.
But, and what did you think? Was it effective as a filmmaker?
No. But like this is why I'm excited for this movie, just because there was so much bullshit and they didn't know what they were doing in that game.
Oh, yeah.
Like I can't wait to see the moment like when they come up with when like Seth Rogen just says, "I got it. Blast processing." because the processor in the Genesis was the only thing that was better than the Super Nintendo. It was just like, the blast processing, we just tell the kids what that is and they'll eat that shit up. They won't even know what we're talking about. And I'm excited to see those little moments in that film where they're just coming up with all the, like, these shitty marketing campaigns.
Yeah. That it's going to be good. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Because we grew up with that. It was an integral part of our childhood.
Yeah.
And it's funny, like, even as a child, I never got the Super Nintendo. I was given the Sega instead, and I still knew it was shit.
I'm sorry.
Like, I was missing out on all these fantastic games, like these RPGs I had to play when I was a teenager instead, and fucking Sonic, it was fun, but it wasn't Mario World, you know?
So, to give you the history of my background, my family wasn't that big into video games, so we never had the Super Nintendo. My older brothers had their Game Boys. But our first home console was a Nintendo 64. But I do vividly remember going to the dentist's office. They had that Super Nintendo with Aladdin and Yoshi's Island and Super Mario World. And that was like, oh, shit, this is awesome.
Yeah,
so like,
Aladdin is a good game.
Mm-hmm. So like, I'm not as invested into the console war, the 90s console wars, just because I wasn't that big of a part of it until N64 came out. But like, I still, which is why I'm like excited for this movie, just because I want to see more of that.
Like reliving a missing part of your childhood.
Yeah. Yeah, because I feel like I desperately wish we had a Super Nintendo. I desperately wish.
I know.
Playing Chrono Trigger on that thing, and wish my brothers would get off their ass and fucking got a Super Nintendo. Shit.
I hear you, bud. I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in peace, Chrono.
Yeah. Man, Chrono Trigger was so fucking good.
No, I'm just thinking about the fucking Space Jam remix I heard the other day, but anyway.
Oh, man. What a great movie. Oh, I think we glossed over the facts. Didn't they say they were making a Space Jam 2?
That was proven to be a not-so-elaborate rumor that for some reason people believed. Probably out of hope, you know? Like, it's like if someone told me like there was a cure for cancer and I like looked it up and there wasn't, I would still hope that it was true. That, like, Space Jam 2 is obviously the same case.
Right. Yeah, it is unfortunate. That is another part of our childhoods. But if that came out as if Space Jam 2 came out on the same day as a Console Wars movie,
I'd see Space Jam 2.
So, Andrew, I gotta ask. Last episode, you said that you would play Link Between Worlds.
Did I?
And you did not, I can tell already.
Although I did play a new Zelda game. It was Four Swords Anniversary Edition. And that's just what I was thinking as I was running up the street this morning, was, that is an example of... Just an example of why story is important in video games. In that the gameplay in that game is quite nice and polished, and it was fucking boring as shit. There's no plot, there's no nothing.
Wait, is this the one that came with Link to the Past, or was this the GameCube one?
No, this is the one for the 3DS. Okay. I downloaded it ages ago, just gave it a shot this morning, and you know, it was just really boring.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's a helpful reminder to say that video games, even if they're art or not, they still need to tell stories and immerse you, other than just spectacular polished gameplay.
Yeah. Did you ever play the GameCube version of Four Swords Adventures?
No, I didn't have the adapter thing.
Okay. You actually don't need the adapter. You could just play it with a regular controller. But that is I really do enjoy that game. You're not getting the story that you want. And it's also, instead of having this huge open world that you can explore at your own leisure, you are actually doing it as story missions. So, like, one story mission could be climb to the top of Death Mountain. The one after that could be, like, fight the boss there, yada, yada, yada. And it's like you're not getting any weapons or items. You're actually just picking them up as you're going along and swapping them out. Very, very similar, but a much more fleshed out version of Four Swords. So it's... Whenever you're around...
We'll play on the old GCN.
Yeah. Well, on the old Dolphin. That's what they.
Do you have Dolphin on your emulator?
No.
Or on your computer?
No.
Oh,
no.
We should work on that.
It should.
No. I'm sure it's. It always looks very cool in the Nintendo Power. Rest in peace. But
I remember. Yeah, I actually remember that reading that article in Nintendo Power about Force.
I used to read every single page of that damn magazine. Oh, man, I was just absorbed in it.
It was so bad too.
It was great.
They were jerking off every game that came their way. It would be the worst game ever.
That was great, though, because it used to be written by the people actually working in Nintendo, not Future US. That's when it all went downhill, I'd say.
You got some real writers there.
I'm just telling my fucking grandkids about this shit. I sound like an old man.
Yeah. Well, you still have all those old... Actually, I think I do, too, somewhere in...
I've got about 200 copies, I think, of Nintendo Power, believe it or not.
I'm trying to remember if I still... I probably still have some in the attic somewhere, or maybe I threw them out because they're just trash.
Nah, don't do that, man.
I know. I'm trying...
I was just looking up the value of my copy of Earthbound the other day. I paid $200 for that fucker in the box, right?
Mm-hmm. With the scratch and sniff stickers, right?
Yeah, they all smell like shit. But that thing's worth like $800, $900 now. I'm just going to keep waiting. It's like I bought a piece of gold there or something.
Mm-hmm.
But my worry is that if Nintendo ever does a re-release, because they've already put it out in the Virtual Console finally, that it will lower the value and no one's ever going to want to buy it.
Right.
Just like how the value of Chrono Trigger for the Super Nintendo went down after the DS release.
Mm. Well, but it's just all the experience that of getting to play Earthbound, right?
Yeah, and I guess it's a... Do I really want to sell it, even if it is worth a lot of money? Probably not.
I mean, it's one of your favorite games, is it not?
I put it in my top 25, yeah.
Top 10?
I don't know, okay, man. There's a lot of good games out there.
Can I attempt to list off your 10 favorite video games?
Oh, you're going to guess?
I'm going to guess.
Go for it, bud.
Rayman 2. was it Rayman 3?
That wasn't a bad game. It just wasn't as good. You know what? Rayman 2?
But is that...
Ah, fuck it, yeah. Put it in the top 10, yeah.
Okay. Majora's Mask.
Definitely.
Banjo-Kazooie.
That's in my top 5, yeah.
Banjo-Kazooie.
Is that like a Japanese girl?
No, that was a racing game that for the GBA that never got released.
Oh, that's actually a really clever name. Mm-hmm. But no.
Banjo-Tooie?
No.
Okay. Link to the Past?
No.
Okay. No, hold on. Final Fantasy VII.
Absolutely.
Final Fantasy VI. Chrono Trigger, how about?
No, I prefer 6 over Chrono Trigger, I'll give you that.
Okay. Resident Evil 4.
Yes. Come on, you're missing an obvious one. Take a melody, simple as can be. Mother 3.
Mother 3.
My fucking favorite game, Jesus Mother Christ. 3.
Earthbound.
No.
Okay. So, that's 5, 6, 7 right now. Vanquish.
No. It's awesome, but it's not top 10. Ding, Jesus, ding, that...
ding. No, Metal Gear Solid. Twin Snakes. The reason why you're a filmmaker.
I call it Snake Eater, actually. That's my favorite one.
Okay. It's close.
This is my top 10, I'd say, yeah.
Let's see. Fallout?
That's a great thing I was just thinking the other day. It's like, I've literally put more time into Fallout and Skyrim than any other game I've ever played, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't even yeah. put them in my top 10.
Yeah, it's like I spent 50 hours in Animal Crossing this year. That's still not my favorite 3DS
game.
That's
not even my top 50, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's just interesting, like, there's a good game, like, a piece of art, and then there's a game that you keep coming back to.
Hmm.
Anyway, you obviously missed the obvious one that I play every time I even see you. Deus Ex Human Revolution.
Oh, right. Deus Ex. How could I forget? Yeah. The Invisible War, if I may.
I might even put the original in my top 10 as well. I play that game a few times now. It doesn't get old. It looks like shit, though, man. Like, you gotta turn your Mac brightness up to 10 out of 10 to see that thing. It's so dark and gloomy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's about my top 10 there.
Okay. I don't even think that was 10, and I think I fucked a lot of that up, but...
Well, let me guess yours, though. Skyward Sword.
No, seriously. See if you can do
okay.
it.
Okay. I'm going to try and guess your top 5, because yep. I know you don't... Anyway, Chrono Trigger, obviously.
Yes.
Okay. Fucking Final Fantasy IV.
Ooh. That's my favorite.
I was going to say 5, but no one likes 5 that much. I can't believe you like that game.
Final Fantasy IV is my favorite... Final Fantasy game, but not one of my top 5.
Not 13, eh? Okay, so just Chrono Trigger then. That's 2. Oh, you like that one game, Dishonored, obviously.
Yeah. You know what? I'll take it. That is.
You put that in your top 5?
I think I wouldn't. Well, in top 5, you gotta like take something that fluctuates every once in a while.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
So that'll be the one that fluctuates depending on how I'm feeling.
This reminds me of High Fidelity Top 5 Records. Anyway, what's that other game you really like? Oh, Twilight Princess, obviously. Or would you put Wind Waker instead? Come on.
Wind Waker is, I think, the superior. I love Twilight that. Princess, but, you know, you can't beat Wind Waker. It can't even beat Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I like Majora's Mask better than Ocarina of Time, but no... Don't kid ourselves. Ocarina of Time is a masterpiece, mm-hmm. and Majora's Mask is good, you know?
Yeah.
Opinion, right? All right, so that's 3 guesses, maybe 4. I don't even know.
I know. You're good at this.
Metroid Fusion.
Played a lot of that one.
Oh, Arkham Asylum. Easy one, yeah. No. That's got to be in top 5. Really?
Nope.
You love that game.
I like okay. Arkham Asylum, not my top 5.
I won't ask you to justify your reasons. What's that damn stupid 3DS game you bought on day one?
Tom Clancy's Shadow Wars? Ghost Recon.
Yeah.
A turn-based strategy game.
Let's see.
Fire Emblem with guns.
Oh, Fire Emblem Awakening. We'll get into that later. I actually don't even know. Your tastes are so... You play everything, you know?
Wind Waker. What? Chrono right. Trigger.
Yeah.
Dishonored.
Yeah.
Paper Mario.
Which one?
The first one.
Not Thousand Year Door. Come on, no, you're fucking
Paper,
me.
Paper Mario.
All right, not a bad choice.
How much time I lost in that game. It's a fantastic game.
Give me your fifth. Come on, come on.
Fifth favorite game. I don't want to say another. I don't want to say something that's from another series.
Yep. There are no rules in this. Only the ones you imposed on yourself.
I'm gonna have to do Ocarina of Time.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
I've never heard you, you know, rave about it, but everyone has to admire it.
Like, sorry, I don't rave about it, but Ocarina of Time changed my life.
I know. It's the first game I realized you don't need to jump. You don't need to jump. It's fine. No, please, let me for the record say, for me, it is Mother 3, Final Fantasy 7, Majora's Mask, Banjo-Kazooie, and this is my dishonor to the list, Deus Ex Human Revolution, mm-hmm. a game which, in no doubt, 10 years, I will not have the same regard for, but right now, it's in my top 5.
Okay. Now, I've got to ask, going back to High Fidelity, what's your five favorite albums?
Oh, let me see.
Let me guess. The Final Fantasy VII soundtrack.
Wait, video games count?
if it has a soundtrack.
Oh, no, that doesn't. I can't even, because then I would just list a bunch of video games. Okay. No, we'll talk about real albums.
Mother
here,
3 soundtrack.
But yeah. Mother 3 is on iTunes, man. That's a big step for. Pink Floyd, The Wall is probably up there.
You have Random Access Memories.
Yeah, I don't care how recent it is. I already know that's going to be my favorite album until the day I die. Adele 21.
Yeah. Queen Night at the Opera?
Night at the Opera, yeah. And
Rise of Ziggy Stardust?
I don't know. I think I might like Heroes better.
Because you're like the biggest David Bowie fan I know.
Yeah. His recent album was really good, but I wouldn't put it in my top five, obviously. We'll just call it a David Bowie album.
Okay. His greatest hits.
Yeah, exactly.
Diamond Dogs.
It's a good album cover. What's your top five? Okay, let's see. Fire. Metric.
No, I'm surprised you didn't say that Suburbs wasn't.
Suburbs is a top tenner. I'll give you that.
Okay, so my five faves. Plans by Death Cab for Cutie. Departing
is
by.
Is this an order of one to five?
No, it's just like random.
Okay.
Departing by the Royal Alberta Advantage.
What a stupid name. But yeah, they're good.
Try saying that name drunk. Hold on, I actually wrote this down a few months ago.
Rural Alberta Advantage.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just trying to say it because I am drunk. That's all.
London Calling by The Clash.
You've got the poster.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Rolled up on your floor.
Doolittle by Pixies.
Never heard of it.
That is Here Comes Your Man on it.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, you have.
I heard
you sing it one time.
Really?
Yeah. Go look up Doolittle. Fantastic album. And
we'll do.
In Our Bedroom After the War by Stars. Those are my favorite.
I think I actually know that one. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So.
So obviously, a much more obscure out there taste other than London Calling, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But that's cool. Mm-hmm. You don't like mainstream Daft Punk. That's fine.
I know your favorite movie, Schindler's List.
No, it might be Blade Runner these days, but it's definitely always between those two.
Okay, hold on. Let me guess your five favorite movies. Star Wars Episode 4. Star Wars Episode 5.
Yes.
Star Wars Episode 6.
Fuck you.
Sorry. Did I tell you I went to Toronto Comic Con a few weeks ago?
A few weeks ago?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that thing happened in the summer.
It wasn't Fan Expo. It was Comic Con.
And?
It was,
did you meet anyone famous?
I saw the 501st there.
I'm currently a retired member. I gotta bring my kid over here.
It brought a tear to my eye to see that you can shoot Nerf guns at them.
I know. You would have lifted up a helmet hoping to see me, and it would have been some quite not me.
I'm sure I told you this, but when I was at Fan Expo over the summer, and the 501st came out, and I saw a sand trooper, and I'm like, hey, that, and like, I already knew that you weren't gonna be there, but I'm like, hey, that, I'm pretty sure that's Andrew. And then Jen's like, that's not Andrew, that guy's too fat to be Andrew. And I'm like, oh.
I think I know who you're talking about, and I know he's lost weight, so it's fine.
But yeah, Comic-Con was pretty fun. This is the first time going as a Doctor Who fan.
Oh, that's changed your life.
Doctor Who has changed my life. I started watching it.
Your favorite, number 10 is your favorite?
Yes, David Tennant is my favorite. I just started Matt Smith episodes.
Not enough eyebrows?
No, it's all not. Right. It's just not as good. And Chris Eccleston.
Yeah, Eccleston's cool.
So I really like David Tennant. I think it's
but
fantastic.
What about that Capaldi coming up? Peter Capaldi looks awesome.
Yeah, the Shakespearean actor.
No, I really like that In the Loop movie he did. It was on Netflix. It was, some people call it the best comedy ever made. Those people are wrong. But it is
best comedy
really
ever
made
is obviously Hots.
21 Jump Street? Wait, what?
Did I ever tell you about Hots?
No.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. You know, it's the, a movie that's supposed to be like the sorority ripoff of Animal House.
Oh, so with girls?
Yeah. And
that sounds hot.
They have like giant cans everywhere in that movie.
Oh, like literally big tits.
Yeah.
Right.
Like there's a scene where a girl goes in to get a boob job. But
wait, when was this made?
It's like in 72 or 73. It was a terrible movie.
They had boob jobs in the 70s?
terrible movie. Terrible, terrible movie. Makes no sense at all.
And you've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it. Like, oh, man. But it's not the best comedy. It's not.
I have to say, Tropic Thunder, not the best comedy. Saved Tom Cruise and Matt McConaughey, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Dallas Buyers Club saved Matt McConaughey, didn't it?
Lincoln Lawyer, if we have to go all that way back.
Okay. Speaking of, we got the fucking Oscars that just happened that we missed.
Fucking Oscars, yeah.
So, you're the movie expert. Discuss.
More like disgust. Oh, no, I was quite happy with the choices. Believe it or not, I wouldn't change a single one other than cinematography, gravity. Come on, Life of Pi. It's done in a fucking computer. Yes, they have to light the green screen, but Prisoners was excellent. Mm-hmm. Actually, I would have literally rather anyone else on that list won Best Cinematography other than Gravity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What else was... Because Prisoners, fantastic, fantastic. Unfortunate that was the only one that it was nominated for. Like,
yeah, come on, give it sound mixing or something, please.
Yeah, like you can say like Hugh Jackman wasn't the best as a lead actor in that role, but...
Mm-hmm.
I think it deserved a little bit more love.
Yeah.
So you're happy with 12 Years a Slave?
That's I'd rather not talk about it too deeply, only because I was in a very weird place when I saw that movie and didn't really like it. But upon reflection,
and
you're
best friends with Steve McQueen too.
Yeah, I mean he's coming over in a couple hours, but I just you know how much of a fan I am of his other films, so I think it's an Ocarina of Time example. It deserves to win, I realize that. But just personally, didn't really do it that well for me.
I thought 12 Years a Slave was fantastic.
Good, and you're like, right, you're in the majority.
I would like to have seen Nebraska or Her or... I just forgot about...
DBC, Dallas Buyers Club?
Yeah, or Dallas Buyers Club. Like, I thought that those were all deserving of winning. Mm-hmm. But, like, well, you just go back and watch 12 Years a Slave. Like, that movie is good. That movie...
Yeah, the soundtrack is fucking shit, though, man.
You don't like the soundtrack?
Not only was it the same music...
It's Hans Zimmer.
...the entire film. Yeah, it was his fucking... It was his score from Inception. The song Time, it was the same melody. It was very lazy of him, I think.
You're crazy. But I thought
it was the same melody.
It may have been a while
since
I
saw
Inception.
They use the theme from Thin Red Line, and they use it for the theme of Shame. Steve McQueen or Hans Zimmer, I don't know whose fault this is, but they're just repeating the melodies they've used in other movies. It's unacceptable. Mm. But for the layman who's not looking for music cues in films and is rather looking for acting, story, etc., yes, it was good.
Fantastic. And like... The next day, like, you know how Ellen said, at the beginning of the Oscars, she said, outcome number one, 12 Years a Slave wins Best Picture. Outcome number two, you're all racists.
Yes.
Which it was kind of like, I didn't. So then the next day, like, you got all those people saying, yeah, I didn't think that, like, 12 years a slave, only one because of white guilt type of stuff. Can I say that?
I found, no, you didn't say it. Someone else did.
Yeah.
I have to say, I was always surprised that Steve McQueen, you know, let's just look at the facts, because he's one of my favorite filmmakers, but he is a black man. Mm-hmm. So I always thought it was interesting that he wasn't making any racially charged films, you know. We had the IRA, and then we had Sex Addict.
Well, he is Irish, so IRA is also a big, like, a big topic for him as an Irishman. Mm.
Fella.
Yeah, an Irish
but
fella.
But yeah, I don't want to sound racist here, because I'm about to, but I think, you know, as a man of that color, he's allowed to make a film with his subject matter, and people shouldn't, you know, people shouldn't dismiss it just because it's about that and mm-hmm. not look at it as a film or not, you know?
Because, like,
it's obviously a great film for most people's opinions.
Because, like, I don't know if the reason why 12 Years a Slave won, because it's a movie about slavery and yada, yada, yada. But you can't overlook the fact that it is a fantastic film that was made by, and, like, had fantastic performances. Like, you just can't breeze past that whole, like, part of the film. Like, you can say, like, just because of the subject matter it won. Like, by
I mean, look at something like Django Unchained. There wasn't nearly as much controversy about that winning any awards.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting.
Yeah, and it's, but, like, you know, because Quentin Tarantino does, like, crazy stuff. Like, and it only won original screenplay, though.
Well, we're talking Oscars. There's Golden Globes. That's true. Gemini's.
That's the important. The Gemini's. Fuck off. Whew. The only award that Corner Gas will win. A Gemini.
Is that really the only one it won? Because I hate that show.
Fuck you. That show is great. No, but, like, it did win a lot of Gemini awards in its time.
Oh, can we quickly name drop Noah, Patrick Cederberg? He just won something over at SAG, didn't he? The Screen Actors Guild Awards?
Did he?
I think he won something for the film he just made. Mm. We don't know what you won, Patrick, but congratulations.
You're, like, you're a listener. When you hear this, just message us. Just write on our... Just write to us.
Patrick Cederberg, Walter Woodman, made a film, Noah, fucking fantastic. I'm pretty sure we dropped it on this podcast before, but it's doing real well on the old awards circuit, and you should all Google it and check it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. Speaking of great films, oh boy, I found something very, very interesting. It was, do you remember your favorite cartoon as a child?
Pokemon.
Yes.
Hey, you guessed it right.
Did you say this just because you know what's coming up?
Oh, now I know what's coming up, but no, Pokemon was actually my, unless you count Reboot as a cartoon, which I don't count as a cartoon.
Mm. Did you start watching them all on Netflix again?
No, I'm not quite brand and smoke enough to do that. I've mostly been sticking to Archer and Firefly. Okay. Anyway.
Good call. That's one rabbit hole that I don't really want to fall into. I'm like, you know what? This was like my life when I was 10 or 8 or 9.
I have a new life now. I'm
like,
a man.
I've seen all of these. I don't need any more of this. Like, I don't need to do this all again. Yeah. But yeah, they're on Netflix. And also, which reminds me, like, on 3DS, you can actually watch every Pokemon episode from the most recent season on it.
I have the app on my iPhone. Sometimes I'll take a look at
something. No, but I just think that it's a very interesting. It's like a very cool way to, like, get their Pokemon, like, get the Pokemon show out there. Just, like, say, hey, you can watch Pokemon for free if on your 3DS.
Yeah, I mean, so, it's, like, still running too, so that's a testament to it.
Mm-hmm. So it's like this really good selling point that they don't use to sell the system. Like, I think it would really help out.
You're not gonna say, like, you can watch Pokemon on your 3DS, buy it. Like, you can watch Pokemon anywhere.
No, but, like, you can watch like, on, like instantly watch any episode from the most recent season.
It's cool.
Mm-hmm. Fuck you. You just don't like this.
A large fan base of Pokemon are fucking adult men like you and me, and they don't want to watch Pokemon anime all day. So,
no, but, like, kids play the 3DS more than adults do.
They can watch it on TV.
Yeah, they can watch it anytime they wanted to. When you have, what didn't you say? Oh, Andrew, here's your Game Boy. Like, watch any episode of Pokemon you want right now, anywhere you went.
Sounds cool to me. That sounds cool to me. But if I'm some snotty 4-year-old being brought up in the, 2000s, whatever, I don't give a shit, I've got everything at my fingertips. Nothing is cool to me anymore. I expect that I can watch Pokemon on my fucking thumb drive,
That's true.
We're tortured men.
Shitty kids already have their 3DS, though.
Exactly.
Okay.
My fucking 6-year-old niece, no, cousin, already has her fucking iPhone, so
damn.
Nothing's cool anymore. Mm. Yeah.
Okay, so what I wanted to say is that yesterday on Reddit, somebody posted Roger Ebert's review for the first Pokemon movie.
Two thumbs way, way up.
Well,
down.
So I just wanted to read some key lines from his review, and we'll see how he scores it afterwards.
All right.
So this is, I'll be doing a dramatic reading of Robert Ebert's review for Pokemon the movie, Mewtwo versus Mew.
That was a great movie.
Sorry. I still remember that magical day when I had like a PD day, and me, my brother, and one of his friends went to the theater that was like 45 minutes away to watch Pokemon because it was the only theater that was playing. God, it was so
what a crime.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, it was.
Because
it
we
was.
Were like the only three kids in the theater. It was awesome.
Tell me, what is Roger saying?
Okay. So he says, you don't play Pokemon in any sense that involves running around or catching anything. So right out of the gate, he misses the main hook to Pokemon.
Oh, no.
No. But, like, I'm taking it all out of context, and he's comparing it to baseball right now. So he actually says, okay. You don't play Pokemon in any sense that involves running around or catching anything or scoring runs or getting dirty. Sounds more like early training for commodity brokers. Which,
intelligent enough, go ahead.
Again, but he's only played the trading card game right now.
Oh, okay. He's played it. Okay, cool.
Okay. Here is the movie. The plot. A scientist has found a way to genetically clone one of the Pokemon? named Mew. His invention is named Mewtwo. Mewtwo then clones other Pokemons on his own. Sort of a revolt of the Pokey. Each Pokemon has a different kind of power. The hero, Ash Ketchum, so-called because he wants to catch them all and have a complete set of Pokemons, ventures with his friends to the villain's island, where battles take place between lots of different kinds of Pokemons. Pokemi and their clones. He goes on to say, after an hour's struggle and shakes the very firmament, the Pokemon collapse. They run down instead of dying, which, very true to the game. And they faint.
Faint.
They faint, yeah, instead of they die. There are a lot of speeches about how we now see that fighting is wrong. There will be a sequel, in which no doubt there will be another hour of fighting before the same lesson is learned again. So there have been, 10 movies, Pokemon Black and White even say why the fighting is wrong, but then they recount saying, oh, no, it's all right.
Bonding experience, yeah, something stupid like that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Roger Ebert is actually, like, really, really way ahead of his time in this review.
I can't take him seriously, though, because he says Pokemon.
Think about it, like, a 60-year-old man, like, coming into Pokemon for the first time. And, only looking at it through someone, as through a film critic's eye.
I'm surprised he even reviewed it.
Well, he reviews everything.
Like, he literally watched this film. Good for him.
Hold on. The story is idiotic. The individual Pokemon have personalities that make the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles look like Billy Crystal. Kids will no doubt love this movie because they can see action involving figures they have collected. Which, it was like Pokemon, like, I don't know, I think we've already been watching the Pokemon show a lot throughout this, by the time this movie came out. We've already seen our favorite Pokemon fighting. It was more about, like, the story, and like it was more, there's a better build-up. Also, I haven't seen this movie in over a decade, so I don't know how.
For shame.
Okay. So he finished by saying, I can't recommend the film or work up much enthusiasm for it because there is no level at which it enriches a young viewer by encouraging thinking or observation. It's just a sound and light show, linked to the marketing push for Pokemon in general. But I may have completely bypassed the point and misrepresented crucial Pokemon lore. Which, you know, Mewtwo, it was Mewtwo. You know, the only time.
I think he has missed the point.
This may disqualify me from ever becoming a Pokemon trainer. I can live with that.
Two stars. Two? What? Two? Really?
Yeah, it's out weird. It's weird. Like, when he says, I can't recommend the film. Two stars.
Good, like, for him.
I don't think anybody should watch this film. It's not really bad, but just a little bad.
He knew, though, that he was wrong, so he gave it two stars instead of one. Good call, Roger. You saved your grace for me.
Yeah. It's just something funny that I found. You know, it's cool.
What's your favorite Pokemon film? Mine, without a question, is Pokemon 4, Mewtwo Returns. Fucking awesome.
I only saw the first two. The one with Mewtwo and the one with Entei afterwards.
Lugia? Oh, no. If it's
Shit. No, I saw the three.
Yeah, you saw three.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I don't know what I can call it, say my favorite one was, because, again, I've seen them over a decade ago.
So we're not about to do a top five Pokemon movies?
Okay, what's your top five Pokemon movies?
I think I've only seen four. It's fine. No, I didn't. I saw Pokemon 1, Pokemon 2000, Pokemon 3, Entei, or whatever his name is, Returns. No, he didn't return. Pokemon 4, Mewtwo Returns, which I own on DVD. Pokemon 5, Pokemon Forever, spelled with a 4.
Yeah, that's weird how they saved that one for the fifth movie.
Yeah, it's a little bit odd.
Pokemon 5 ever.
Well, that's because Pokemon 4, Mewtwo Returns, didn't get a theatrical release. Because in Japan, these things are still hitting the theaters, you know.
Oh, man, it's like every... Like, go on Bulbapedia News, and it's like every month there's news of a new Pokemon movie.
You know, I saw a recent one, though. It was like The Legend of Lucario or something like that. It's not terrible. Like, the quality hasn't really fallen that much since we were kids.
Yeah, because it was always shitty.
Yeah, but at least it's not getting worse, is what I'm saying, you know?
Oh, God.
And I wonder, like, will it take, like, the games failing for them to stop making these anime things?
They'd have to, because, like, after when Pokemon
things,
ends, like, are they just going to be stuck, like in the with all the lore that was already created by Game Freak? Like, I don't think Funimation or
stuff, yeah,
whoever is doing it.
Funimation.
Like, I don't think that they're going to keep up with it. Like, because I don't know. Like,
yeah, but that's the question. Well, you think that the games will continue and the anime stuff will ever stop? Because I don't know how big it is here. Probably not. But in Japan, it's got to be at least big enough to make a profit.
I can see it stopping in the U.S., but not in Japan. Like, I'll
stop dubbing it,
but
then, yeah.
But, like, how much does it actually cost to dub, like, cheaply dub an anime?
It depends,
like,
what voice actor you get.
Just get Veronica in there and say Pikachu. Like, get Egoraptor to do the voices.
He would do fine.
I mean, Venusaur.
Yeah, it's an interesting query, but a question for tomorrow's problems, not for today's, mm-hmm. You know? I'm sure there's a bunch of kids that still enjoy watching it. I don't know any, but mm-hmm. I don't know many kids.
Well, on your 3DS right now, you can watch it.
No, I was just watching, like, the one where they go to the island on my iPhone, man. You know that one where they go to Pokemon Island and there's all the big giant Pokemon?
Oh, fuck yeah, I remember that one. I love that one.
Yeah, that... I was just watching that the other day. Yeah, it's still pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Again, like I said before, I'm not ready to jump in to Pokemon after all this time away. Like, I'm fine. Got other stuff to do.
This is a cry for help. I'm fine. I'm really fine.
All right. So that was a good little article. Well, I think Roger Ebert is mostly upset about because another animated film came out around the same time.
Digimon, the movie?
No. God, that was... Ugh. Ugh. But you may even call this a masterpiece of animation. The Iron Giant.
Yeah.
The Iron Giant and Pokemon the movie came out like... Probably, I think, like, less than a month apart from each other.
Isn't that funny, though? Because everyone always says, Japanese animation, so ahead of the West. And look at that, you fucking Pokemaniacs.
Yeah.
Iron Giant is a masterpiece.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And, like, so I think that's probably him. You, like, you watch this really beautiful, like, animated movie about a giant robot, and it's just Jack Black is in it.
And wait, Jennifer
Aniston is in it.
Who's Jack Black in that movie?
I may be lying.
He's not Dean, is he?
I know Jennifer Aniston is in it.
Fun fact, Gareth Stirrup. The guy that did the sound for Iron Giant is actually working on my film. He's Scottish.
No way! That's awesome.
Yeah. He's done a lot of things like Tron Legacy, Oblivion, and all this. He's a cool guy.
All right. Okay. Hold on.
But he's no Brandon Benoit.
That's what you're missing. Okay. Yeah. Jack Black is not in the Iron Giant, but Vin Diesel is. Vin Diesel
as the giant
is in the Iron Giant. Holy shit! This was produced by Pete Townsend.
Oh, you're doing fact checking. That's a taboo on this show.
No way. It's crazy, man. But he didn't do the music. That's weird. Damn. That poor movie. Lost so much money.
Did it?
It costs between 50 and 70 million to make.
It's a cartoon.
Only made 31 million.
Oh my god. That's a fucking crime right there. Mm-hmm. That movie. Come on.
I think Brad Bird. I think I saw it in theaters. I want to say.
I did, yeah. Mm-hmm. I own it on DVD. I saw it in the theaters. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Good movie.
Speaking of Brad Bird, Incredibles 2.
Is there... Yeah, that's right. One of your favorite movies. Big Hero 6. The one
and
I'm looking
Cars
forward
3.
To.
Cars 3 is unfortunately coming out. Ugh. They do make a good bit of cash on those movies, though, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Well, they must.
Selling car mattresses and shit, yeah.
So... I think we're running out of steam, I'd say.
I'm running out of room in my bladder. I'm two beers in and I gotta get going.
Oh, yeah. So I think that we're good. I think we had a good show for you. We had a good show for you, everybody. I hope you enjoyed it.
And if you disagree, feel free to
suck my dick.
I was gonna say harass Gareth. But
if you didn't like this, just rate and review us, and like I'm trying to use those reviews on iTunes to make our show better. Like, I've been adding music.
We'd rather have a one-star review than no review, you know? At least tell us for shit. Don't be fucking passive-aggressive about it.
Tell us how we can improve. Like, I'm trying here. Like, this is the first episode that I, like, fact-checked, like, all my notes.
I was impressed back there, yeah. Mm-hmm. You actually...
No, but, like, I had a list of, like, okay, here's all the information about Arkham Knight... Here's all the clips from Ebert review I want to do. And now we're also going to have some music to play us out.
What song? Have you chosen it yet?
No, I think I want to do something from Gone Home, but it's also melodramatic that it's hard. So, but, you know, I'll let you know in the description which song I do choose. And you're about to hear it.
See, this is the podcast, though. It's Gareth working his ass off to make sure he delivers the best show possible. Mm-hmm. It's literally me sitting here drinking.
No,
but an easy job.
As you said in the first episode, you add color to the commentary.
Color commentary, mm-hmm. if you will.
Oh,
well,
shit.
I'm happy being in that position.
I forgot to tell you that I started playing Banjo-Kazooie.
Good.
But that'll be saved for next time.
Oh, good. We're going to have a long chat about why that game is one of the best games ever made.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we can tell everyone to go off. In the meantime, to sate their appetite, go watch The Game Grumps with Grant Kirkhope. It is quite good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very, very, very
composer
good.
Of Banjo-Kazooie. Yeah, he's a funny,
in GoldenEye.
Cheeky British guy.
GoldenEye. A lot more people remember GoldenEye.
Yeah, the soundtrack wasn't as good for that, but anyway.
It wasn't good, but like more people played GoldenEye. Everybody
You're
remembers.
Right. Not everyone played. Yeah.
He
Grant
didn't compose
Kirkhope,
that.
A.K.A. John Barry.
All right, this has been episode 20, 21?
20. Pardon? No, 21. When it's 21, we got... Do Adele-themed show. Come on.
Okay.
That's her best album.
Okay, so sit tuned for next week. We'll do our Adele-themed show. You're going to hear a lot.
He won't go.
We're going to be rolling in the deep. We're going to set fire to the rain. In Skyfall.
Never mind, we'll find a podcast like you. Your jokes are better, actually. I'll give you that one.
Okay. So, all right. Thanks for listening, and check back with us in a bit. I promise that there'll be a lot less time. I was just really sick last week.
You know what? I think we actually say that every week. Anyway, yes.
No, but we got to be serious this time. People are expecting it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Talk to you all soon. Thanks for listening.
All right. Bye-bye.